Success ain't earned, it's bought. That's why at Paddy Power, we paid the big bucks for the best tech nerds in the world to develop our new fastest ever app. Download the new app from the App Store or Play Store now. 18 plus, begambleaware.org.
Light the candle, tiger!
Hi there, welcome along to the Racing Post Golf Postcast. I'm Bruce Millington and I am joined as ever by Steve Palmer and Paddy Powers, Ian McLaughlin, to look ahead to two great events, one in Saudi Arabia, one in America. Before we look at who the chaps fancy this week, we'll have a quick reflection on last week. And Ian, it was a week when the fancied runners came to the fore, wasn't it? An expensive week for Paddy Power?
Yeah, it was a poor week for us. Bryson DeChambeau obviously was the classiest golfer in the Dubai field. Punters latched onto that and he showed that in spades, winning by seven. And Rose will always be popular wherever he goes, being the world number one, obviously UK and Irish company as ourselves. So yeah, he was pretty bad too. And the doubles, obviously, people were linking up the doubles too. So yeah, losing week for us in the end.
Losing week for Paddy Power. Losing week for Steve Palmer, was it?
Yeah, it was a shame. Jordan Smith was threatening a place for a long time, but final round 73. And then in the other one, I had John Rahm to win 20 bags, win only. But yeah, he looked the likely winner. He closed the gap to just one shot through six holes, and Rose was going backwards. Rahm was playing the best of the final group, so I was quite confident at that point. But Rose birdied the seventh, and that settled him right down, and then it was game over from there. Rahm didn't make another birdie to the hut. Really disappointed with Rahm on that back nine. So yeah, onwards and upwards.
Okay, but you were down at the in-laws, weren't you? So were you kind of having to sneak out while they were watching Miss Marple or something
I had the Dubai stuff on mute. I was allowed to have the pictures on just in the background there, but still getting involved in everything. But yeah, I mean, DeChambeau is absolute masterclass on Sunday, wasn't he? I mean, he's such a steely focus. I think he could go to the very top of the world rankings the way things are going. And as long as he's not penalised on his slow play, because obviously the big wigs are trying to clamp down on that a little bit, and that's the one weakness he has. Everything he does is fantastic, but it takes him a long time to do it.
Oh, him and his caddy, blimey, they do witter on, don't they? For God's sake, hit the bloody thing, for God's sake.
Air pressure and stuff. He's very thorough, isn't he? But he's working.
He is good. Did you do anything to his Masters price after that imperious display, Ian?
Yeah, we gave him a good trim from 20-1 into 16-1, so he's not quite favourite yet, but another couple of good performances, he could be close to favourite by the time.
Would Augusta favour him in?
I think so. One concern looking at the field at the start of the year was his chipping. Like, his action is very, you know, his golf swing is very motion to motion. It's all the same swing. It's kind of the same swing, same length of his wedges as well. So that was one concern. But it looks to be getting better. He's getting a bit more wrist action into his chipping. Augusta should really suit him, tee to green. Like, I think he was 25th on debut as an amateur 3 years ago. Yeah, he looks flawless tee to green at the moment. If he can keep that putting up, I think he's nigh on unbeatable if he puts well in a good week.
Steve, what was your takeout from each tournament?
Well, for Dubai, I thought Lucas Herbert was very impressive. I mean, that was his Dubai Desert Classic debut, finished seventh. And the bare figures don't tell the full story. He had a two-shot penalty for some indiscretions in a bunker early in round three. The third hole, so that was a real setback, and he still managed to finish seventh. If you give him the two shots back, he finishes tied for second. So I think, yeah, Lucas Herbert can win on a big hitters track this year. Like the look of him. And then from the Farmers, Rory McIlroy can take great encouragement from that. That was his Torrey Pines debut. Finished fifth, drove the ball superbly, scrambled really well, which was a big positive. So I think Rory's got some positives. And then obviously Tiger, whisper it quietly, but what a lovely start to the year from Tiger. Just got better each day and got exactly what he wanted from that tournament. I think he's just going to peak for the majors.
How come Rory's never played that? That's very peculiar, isn't it?
No, he doesn't play traditionally hasn't played many of the West Coast events. He likes to start in the Middle East, but he's really focused on the US Tour this year. He says he wants to be in amongst the FedEx Cup leaders a bit quicker. He's turning his back on the European Tour a bit.
Okay, and Ian, what are your takeouts?
From the Farmers, it was definitely the return of Hideki Matsuyama. He played some excellent golf. Only saw a second shot from the bunker on was it Sunday, the 5-1 from about 250 yards to about 5 feet. It was one of the best shots I've seen so far this year. Yeah, great to see him back. He's obviously coming this week to one of his favourite courses in Phoenix. And in Europe, I'll be mentioning him in a brief moment, is Romain Langasque. He had an open round 66 in Dubai. He kind of faltered over the next 2 days, 72-74, but had a flawless 66 on the Sunday. And he's coming now to a course that should suit him this week. So I think he's won a big eye catcher from last week.
Okay, a couple of questions have come in. Steve, I'll ask you the first one. It's from Mark Matthews. He says, please can you ask Steve if there's a time of year he favours for golf betting? Is he streaky like some players?
Well, Mark, yeah, I am actually. October seems to be the year where things go very, very well. So, yeah, be patient if we haven't had a winner by 10. Yeah, October's just consistently good for some reason.
And which month do you hate?
January. I don't enjoy January. So I didn't have a winner in January last year. So I'm not overly concerned. I'm not panicking. No, don't panic, Captain Mannering!
No one's panicking. We're all nice and calm.
Yeah, good.
Okay, the good times, I'm sure, are just around the corner. Okay, and Ian, Brian has asked us about Doug Gim's chances in Bogota this week. Blimey, they get about these golfers, don't they?
They do. He's gone from California to Colombia. So, yeah, he's actually there in our betting, his second fav, 20-1. I'll give you a quick run-through if you want this level of field. Yeah, John Oda, who's been making hay in the web.com so far this season, leads our betting at 18-1. Doug Gim, obviously, next in the 20-1. Tyler McCumber, 20-1. Matt Every, 25-1. Nick Vogt, 30-1. Stephen Alker, 30-1. Sebastian Munoz, 30-1. And 33-1 bar.
Did you say Tiger McCumber?
Tyler McCumber.
Oh, Tyler. I was going to say, Steve, if your son gets, if you get approval from Nicola to call the newborn Tiger, I thought there might be three of them on the planet, but it's only going to be two. Is Tiger still a favourite there?
On the baby front?
Yeah.
No. Negotiations have reached a... they're ongoing, but there's talk of middle names. There's a lot going on there, but I can't possibly comment.
What's favourite at the moment?
Well, I suppose, yeah, Tiger would be favourite, but...
What's the other one? You like Romeo, or you had some sort of Latin...
Fabio's still in the running. But yeah, I think it's like the Brexit negotiations. These things don't really hot up until the deadline's fast approaching. You know?
So you could be heading for no deal on Tiger.
Yeah, no name, like Prince.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Okay, right then, let's turn our attention to the Saudi International next.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week and you'll get a free £10 bet then next week. T&Cs apply. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org.
Be the right club today!
Welcome back. Okay then, two tournaments this week. We've got the Phoenix Open down there in Arizona, a very well-established tournament. And we've got a new one, the Saudi International, taking place at the King Abdullah Economic City in Saudi Arabia. Been a bit of controversy here because of the Saudi regime, and people are saying that despite the fact that our government does arms deals with this country and we buy loads of oil off them, that some golfers shouldn't go and play golf. I think we'll bypass the political argument about this and focus on who's going to win before we look at who the lads fancy. We'll get a show of betting from Paddy Power.
Yeah, so 7 places this week in Saudi Arabia. Bryson DeChambeau heads are betting at 13-2 alongside Justin Rose at 13-2. Dustin Johnson next in at 8-1. Brooks Koepka 10-1. Sergio Garcia 14-1. Matt Wallace 20-1. Patrick Reed 20-1 and 22-1 bar.
Blimey, the boycott went well. All the big names are there, aren't they? Steve, first of all, before we get your main fancy, what sort of track is this?
It's only been open for 9 months, so not a lot of people have played there. Very short by modern standards. Looks easy. Looks easy from the pitches. There's only one par 5 on each 9, 12 par 4s, a few lakes. But, yeah, I think tidy golf, fairways and greens, tidy golf and a hot putter will yield a low score. I think it's 20 under par might win this.
Ian, you might be slightly more bearish on in terms of the low score. You think it could blow a bit, don't you?
Just look at the forecast, like, and looking at the course itself and the flyovers, it's obviously it's by the coast and there's plenty of, as Steve said, plenty of lakes and kind of water on the sides. And looking through the forecast, there's Saturday, Sunday especially, there's going to be wind and a consistent wind Thursday, Friday. So yeah, I'm looking, I think it could be relatively easy, but yeah, I'll be probably a little bit lower. Probably be 14, 15 under par myself.
Okay, it feels like the sort of week where a really handsome golfer could go well, Steve. Who do you fancy? Who's your main selection?
Well, you like to call him the flatterer, but I like to call him Thunderbear. So yeah, that handsome Danish dude, Thorbjørn Olesen, will be carrying my money again. He's... He won't give a monkey's about all the issues surrounding this event. I mean, you talk about the winning score. Maybe the strange atmosphere will put all the best players off. I don't know. It's going to be a very odd week atmosphere-wise. I mean, it'd just be very quiet, I think, wouldn't it? Very quiet, very sparsely populated event. I mean, the contrast between the galleries at Phoenix and the galleries in Saudi Arabia I mean, it's going to be stark, to say the least. But nothing bothers Thorbjørn Olesen. I think he'll slip straight into his usual routine. He's a single man. He hasn't got to worry about ringing the wife every 5 minutes to reassure her that he's okay. And he loves. Well, you know, it's like, yeah, you, if you're a family man with kids, I think you're going to what many consider a very dangerous place. I think Thorbjørn Olesen be totally focused on the golf. He loves performing in the Middle East. Spends a lot of time in Dubai. Fantastic record in Abu Dhabi, Qatar, Dubai. Finished seventh in the Desert Classic last week, four rounds in the 60s. One of the best putters in the field. I mean, my instinct is this is an easy track. You want to have good putters on your side. Olesen's one of the best in the business. He's not a flatterer. He's a five-time European Tour champion at the age of 29. You could say he's a seven-time European Tour champion because he's won the World Cup and the Golf Sixes. So if you include pairs events, he's a seven-time European Tour champion at the age of 29. So, I thought Olesen was the best bet.
Okay, and your best bet, Ian?
Yeah, it's one of the big prices. It's Eddie Pepperell. He's obviously been very vocal about going to Saudi Arabia this week. I'm taking a cautious play on him. He's slowly making his way back from injury that towards the end of 2018, a neck injury. Looking at the course setup, as I mentioned, relatively short course. Looking for the forecast, plenty of wind blowing through it. I think this will play to the strengths of Pepperell. Both European Tour wins have come at similar type of characteristic of layout and weather conditions. Wins of the British Masters last year at Walton Heath.
God, imagine it'd be a bit warmer in Saudi. God, that Sunday at Walton Heath was brutal.
I'll go back. I'll retrieve that now with the Qatar Masters 2 years ago. A little bit more warmer conditions. I'm not just basing off a cold and wet Walton Heath. Obviously, he was 38 last week in Dubai, which wasn't a bad pipe opener. Hit the ball quite well. Didn't have a great green week on the greens. I'd advise a small each way play at 66-1 this week.
Okay, Steve, you've got four others. Whiz through them.
Next best is Joost Luiten. Few players on the circuit have more hunger for competition than Luiten. Had a long time off last year, 5 months on the sidelines with a wrist injury. Came back in late October and was really impressive. Finished 11th, first time out in the Andalusia Masters, 23rd in Turkey, 27th in the Nedbank, 22nd in the DP World Tour Championship, and then started this year spectacularly. Third place in Abu Dhabi, closed with a 65, which was better than anyone on the Sunday. And then he got ill. He got ill and he had an upset stomach, missed the cut on the mark in Dubai. So suddenly shunted out at 50-1 because of that missed cut. But it's nothing to worry about. Upset stomach, it's gone. Straight back in business this week. Like Olesen, prolific European Tour champion, six-time winner. His last victory was in this neck of the woods, the Oman Open last February. He's got a great golf record. And I think this looks a perfect layout for his tidy tee to green golf.
Okay.
So, and then three more at big prices. But do you want Ian McLaughlin to get stuck in first?
No, we'll have your other three, Steve.
Three more. These are all whoppers. Romain Langasque, exceptional talent, 23-year-old Frenchman, clearly going places, 39th in the Masters as an amateur, now starting to make real serious strides as a professional. Won on the Challenge Tour last year by three shots in September. Finished fourth in the Challenge Tour Grand Final in UAE. Any UAE form, well worth considering this week for obvious reasons. Then he finished fifth in the European Tour Q School to get his card and was runner-up in the South African Open. So ended last year like a train and has started this year well. 20th place in Dubai last week. 5 under par, back 9, 32. Bogey-free final round, 66. So he came home really strong last week. And then two at even bigger odds. Marcus Kinholt and Gaganjeet Bhullar. Kinholt, like Langasse, a promising youngster who's got some good form in the desert already. He's fifth in the 2016 Egyptian Challenge, which was his first visit to this region. That was on the Challenge Tour. Saudi Arabia, just across the Red Sea from Egypt. He was second in the 2017 Challenge Tour Grand Final in the UAE. And he was third in the Qatar Masters last year. That's the most significant piece of form. So Kinholt, another tidy player. Made a rusty start to the year, but should really enjoy this assignment. And Bhullar, for a 30-year-old, he's got a bulging mantelpiece, prolific champion on the Asian Tour, and got off the mark on the European Tour last year in the Fiji International. And a bit more about this Saudi track. It uses an unusual grass, which not many courses have. It's Dynasty Paspalum. And Bhullar won the Fiji International on that type of grass. So I think he'll enjoy these greens. And he's played well the last couple of weeks in the first two golf events. So, Kinholt and Bhullar are the massive prize ones.
You'd know all about a bulging mantelpiece, Steve, wouldn't you? What have you got on your mantelpiece?
I've got a replica claret jug, a couple of awards, Sports Betting Writer of the Year awards. When I stopped entering that competition when I didn't win it, I had a fit of pique and stopped entering. But I've got all the awards up to the point I stopped entering. And then
anything from your junior golfing exploits?
Never actually a member of a golf club. Could never afford it. I was a very, very poor child. But then I've got most of my stuff is from John Owen from Formby, all the sort of gifts he provides. It's this lovely, generous reader that sends me gifts.
Yeah.
I got a lot of them on the mantelpiece.
He sent me a Radiohead mug the other day.
Did he?
Yeah.
Well, you never know what you're going to get, but it's always good, isn't it? It's always exciting. When you get a package from him, it's, I wish more readers
would. I mean, everyone loves you. I get loads of abuse. So to get like a Radiohead mug from John Owen from Formby, it's bloody brilliant. It really is, honestly. It's so uplifting. Okay, so those are Steve Fancy's. Ian, your main one is Eddie Pep. Who are you going to supplement him with?
Just one more, and it's Romain Langasque as well. As Steve mentioned, looks to be getting more settled on the European Tour, beginning to fulfill the potential that saw him win the British Amateur in 2015. His first four starts in the European Tour made for encouraging reading. First four starts this season, I should say. 23rd, 2nd, 15th, 20th. That 20 place finish included the first and final round last week in Dubai of 66. I think another player should be suited by the Royal Greens Golf Club, and a smallish play for me again at 80-1.
Okay, let's whiz through the fancy contenders and get a quick one sentence view on each of them. Steve on Bryson DeChambeau.
Should be favourite, yeah. Very tempted by DeChambeau. I think he's by far the best of the market leaders, but just still a tad short. Yeah.
Okay, Justin Rose. Ian?
Taxing week last week in California. Long way to travel to get over to Saudi. I'm looking to oppose.
And Dustin, Steve?
I think Dustin and Brooks have just been taking it very easy since the last tournament. They've been in the Maldives, I think. So I think there's a fair amount of rust. I can't see
them being...
Yeah,
so they're buddies again, are they?
Yeah, they're buddies again. Yeah, I think they've got over the hump. I don't see him being that motivated for this.
Okay.
I don't think either would be that bothered if they missed the cut and can get an early flight back, because they're just getting their healthy appearance fees. The appearance fee will dwarf anything that they can win in the actual tournament, so their job is done.
Really? God, that's amazing. Yeah. Blimey. So would that be a reason why you're not tipping Brooks Koepka, Ian?
Yeah, I was going to say, I was going to mention the motivation, but also the course might shackle their power to kind of overpower the course. So, yeah, looking to take them both on too.
Steve on Sergio?
Sergio, yeah, every chance. Yeah. Probably the second most interesting one behind DeChambeau.
Okay, and finally, Ian, what do you think of Big Pat Reed?
Again, I think the course might be a little bit too tight, a little bit too short for him. Played okay last week in Torrey Pines, much like Rose, a long way to travel. Here for a cash grab as well, so yeah, looking to take him on as well.
Okay, from quiet, sedate Sandy Saudi to noisy Phoenix for the Phoenix Open next.
Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower, and we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather, or the gym.
Oh, baby.
Welcome back. It's Bruce Millington, Steve Palmer and Paddy Powers, Ian McLaughlin. We're going to look to the Phoenix Open now. Always a favourite tournament in the early part of the year. Takes place at Scottsdale in Arizona. And of course, its trademark is the Stadium 17th with all sorts of fun and games. Gone a little bit over the top for me, Steve, this one. It's kind of, I wouldn't say it's become a caricature of itself, but I don't know that... The sort of raw fun that helped establish it has become a little bit more corporate. Do you think, Steve, or do you still get a thrill from it?
Well, I don't like to have a downer on it because it's saving the world in a way, isn't it? I think waste management do a lot of good work for the environment. So I think I'm not sure how it was, but I think they encourage people to be more environmentally friendly. I think that's the sort of theme of the
event. Are they still sponsoring it?
Yeah, still the
cool,
waste
not getting a name check in the Racing Post this week. They won't be happy with us.
No, but it's all good fun. It's the 16th hole that's the crazy one, isn't it? And then the 17th...
Oh, sorry, the 16th. I've gone mad. Yeah, 17th's that drivable four, isn't it?
That's right. Andrew McGee famously got an eagle there. No, they're both fantastic holes. It is a thrilling finish. And, we've seen a lot of drama there, a lot of playoffs. Matsuyama and Fowler had an amazing playoff there not long ago. So, no, this is one of the events of the year. But, yeah, you're right. I suppose the drunkenness does get a little bit much.
Mind you, I'm 2 days away from the end of dry January, so I should imagine that if I was there on Sunday, I would be the drunkest person. I'd say there's a pint out there that's going to get it. What's the latest betting in?
Yeah, so 8 places this week in Phoenix. John Rahm heads are betting at 7-1. Justin Thomas next in at 10-1. Hideki Matsuyama 11-1. Xander Schauffele 18-1. Gary Woodland 20-1. Tony Finau 20-1. Ricky Fowler 20-1 and 22-1 bar.
Right, it would have taken Ian about 10 minutes to get down the list to your tips, Steve. As Graham Taylor once said, it's got to go big. You are going big here, Steve. Who's your main tip?
That's it. Kevin Tway is my main tip. I think Kevin Tway's career is on the up. He won on the web.com tour in 2013, and everyone expected a more instant US Tour victory, but it's taken him a few years. He turned 30 and then boom, made his US Tour breakthrough in October that won the Safeway Open, and won the Safeway Open in really gutsy fashion. It was a three-man playoff, and in the playoff, Tway went birdie, birdie, birdie to see off Brant Snedeker and Ryan Moore. So, you know, obviously amazing levels of confidence come from that. I think he'll kick on from there. Finished last year well, and then he opened this year with a great performance in the Century Tournament of Champions. He was really struggling. He had to pull out the Pro-Am the previous just before it started because he had a really bad virus. But he pinged the lids, led after round one, and eventually finished 11th. And he's back in full health now, working his way towards the top 50 of the world rankings. And he's tackling the Phoenix Open, which is TPC Scottsdale is a course that really suits him. He's a powerful driver. He's set himself up really well on all these holes. But this is the first time he's been to the Phoenix Open with any sort of game, really. He was 293rd in the world rankings on his first visit. He was 197th in the world rankings on his second visit. But now, obviously, he's a much more confident US Tour champion. I'm expecting big things.
100-1, Kevin Tway. How many have you got this week, Ian?
Three.
Give us your main one.
Yeah, it's Adam Hadwin. He's actually coming to his home course this week. He said in an interview last week, he moved to Arizona a couple of years ago and practiced quite a bit at TPC Scottsdale. His affiliation for Desert Golf was well documented with a second place finish last time out in the Desert Classic. His overall game looks to suit these course setups, and he said in interviews that he reads these type of greens better around the desert than anywhere else on the US Tour. His approach play was excellent in California, a key component needed to contend at TPC Scottsdale. His last three starts in Phoenix reached 17, 12th, 43rd. Not a bad portfolio. He'll be my main play this week at 40-1.
Okay, Steve, Tway's your main one is 100. You've got a couple of even bigger prices, haven't you? Who are you going for?
This is it. Next best is Jason Karkrak. A little bit older than Tway, still a US Tour maiden, but he's threatened on numerous occasions. Six top four finishes now on the US Tour for Karkrak. And that includes a couple of runner-up spots. He's won twice on the web.com tour, so I think he can get the job done. And last year he was having a terrible season, but then third place in the Greenbrier in July sparked him into life, restored confidence, and he's now on a streak of 11 consecutive cuts made. He's opened 2019 with a pair of top 20s. So, he's playing some really solid golf. And, like Tway, he's come to Phoenix in the past, lacking self-belief, but not this week. He's playing well. The course is set up for bombers like him. And, Jason plenty of damage.
Okay, and who else do you like?
And then we've got one more, three outsiders against the field. Peter Uhlein, world number one amateur for a total of 49 weeks. Magnificent young talent, full of potential, but for various reasons, it's not yet been realised. I mean, he's had a few injuries. He won on the European Tour, and then he won on the web.com tour last year. 2017. And last year, he really started to threaten a maiden US Tour victory. He finished fifth in the Wells Fargo, fifth in the Memorial. And I don't think it'd be long before Uhlein makes his US Tour breakthrough. He's always been destined to be really, really good. He's only played once in Phoenix, but he's got a bank of desert experience in to draw upon from the European Tour. Played a lot on the European Tour. He was his last two visits to the desert on the European Tour, finished fifth in the Dubai Desert Classic and 10th in the DP World Tour Championship. So he's proven in the desert, and although he's made a slow start to this season, he finished last year with a 63 in the RSM Classic for 7th place there. So I don't think it'd be long before he gets going again.
Okay, and Ian, as well as Adam Hadwin, who do you like this week?
Yeah, just two more. Next best is Ches Reavy. Reavy has been putting up really strong tee to green figures in recent weeks. He was second in strokes gained in pros for the week at the Sony Open. That was en route to a third place finish. He was 28 at the Desert Classic, which wasn't really a bad performance. Again, his tee to green figures were very good. Just didn't get going on the greens. He needed to hold a lot of putts that week to contend. He was second here last year, lost in the playoff to Gary Woodland. I think he can go close again this week at around 50-1. And the outsider, I'm taking another chance on Sung Jae-im, around 100-1 mark this week. Didn't really take to Torrey Pines last week, but his 12th place finish the week before in the desert should see him go well here. His overall tee to green game is still in good shape. He'll have a little bit more room off the tee this week, so he can take advantage with his driver to complete my lineup this week.
Okay, and we'll get an assessment of the favourites now. Ian, what do you think of John Rahm's chances?
Obviously in very, very good form. He used to go to the University of Phoenix. This is a home game for him almost. I think he's a worthy favourite around 7-1.
Justin Thomas, Steve.
Justin Thomas, probably the weakest of the three market leaders, hasn't got a great course record there. Famously got hammered by the crowd after throwing his club at the 16th. Was that last year? He had a bit of a tantrum in front of the 16th. And they don't forget in a hurry. No, I'm not sure about Thomas this week, but I like the other two.
The knowledgeable 16th crowd. Matt Suama, I think you got the hots for him. Why didn't you tip him, Ian?
Yeah, I was looking kind of bigger prices this week. I'm not sure. Like, he went off 66-1 with us last week. I know he's coming to his favourite course. I know he's back in flawless form. I could probably let him go off at around 11-12-1 this week, personally.
Steve, do you fancy Xander Schauffele at all?
No, not really. No. I prefer Xander Schauffele on more difficult courses. I mean, I'm with Ian. Like, I thought the prices on the market leaders were all a bit too short because this is a straightforward track. You know, it brings a lot more of the field in. You know, it won't take much to win this week. I do respect Rahm and Matsuyama, but I think they're both too short.
Okay, let's get the solemn, clear recap of all the tips. Saudi International, Steve Palmer.
How solemn do you want, like, sort of?
No, just so people can hear it. No nonsense.
Thorbjørn Olesen. Joost Luiten. Romain Langask. Marcus Kinholt. And Gaganjeet Bula.
Ian McLaughlin.
Eddie Pepperell. Romain Langask.
That wasn't very solemn. Sorry. You're not coming to my funeral if you're going to be all jokey like that. Steve, sorry, trying to get solemn again. Steve, Phoenix Open.
Well, Saudi Arabia should be the solemn one, really, shouldn't it? And then Phoenix should be the upbeat one. So let's do some upbeat ones.
Okay.
Kevin Tway! Kevin Tway! Jason Cockrack! Peter Uline!
And Ian.
Like, people in the next room, so I can't be too loud, but Adam Hadwin! Chez Reavy! Sung J.M.!
Excellent. What people? I'm intrigued by this. It's like your mum having coffee morning or something.
No,
that'd be
brilliant. I'm in the office.
Oh, right, you're in the office.
There's people beside me through a window. They can see, just saw me there shouting out loud. So.
Oh, it's all fun and games.
Exactly.
I thought that would be standard behaviour at Paddy Power.
That's
you're
true,
wacky,
that's true.
Aren't you?
We are wacky, exactly.
We're happy,
yeah.
And free. We're happy and free. We're in the Western world.
Exactly. And if you only had one bet this week, Steve, what would it be?
One bet, Thunderbear Olesen. In a double with Kevin Tway.
I bet you've done that, haven't you?
I have done that, and that will yield £500,000, and we'll do one more podcast then before bringing my replacement.
Oh, God. Oh. Well, good luck with that, sort of. Ian, one bet from you this week?
Just Adam Hadwin this week in Phoenix.
Adam Hadwin. Okay, thank you very much, chaps. That's marvellous. Let's see what we've got coming up. Mark Langdon is going to be hosting the Football Postcast tomorrow. I'm back with the weekend racing on Friday. And then we've got racing again on Monday, anti-post racing on Tuesday. And I say we're back next Wednesday. Ian and I are back. Steve, where are you buggering off to?
Well, I'm going to the seashells, as my daughter likes to call it.
Oh.
I'm going to get away from things in the Indian Ocean.
Oh, lovely.
I think it's in the Indian Ocean, isn't it? Yeah,
pretty sure it is, yeah. How long are you going for?
Going for 10 days.
Did you choose the hotel or did Nicola?
No. I chose everything because with a pregnant wife, you've got to be careful of this Zika virus, haven't you? But Seychelles is one of the few places on the earth that's hot and hasn't got the Zika mosquito. So that's why I selected it. So, yeah, hopefully come back, freshen up and come back really strong.
Okay. Ian, give us a tantalising glimpse of what we've got next week. So there's something on the running order that says the Vic Open.
It's a Victorian Open. It's the kind of initiative on the Australian/European Tour. I think there's a women's event on the course beside it as well. So they both play two 72-hole tournaments in the round themselves. So that should be fascinating. And then we go to Pebble Beach for the AT&T Pro-Am, which should be a decent field.
Lovely stuff. Join us for that. And good luck with your golf bets this week.
Success ain't earned. It's bought. That's why at Paddy Power, we paid the big bucks for the best tech nerds in the world to develop our new fastest ever app. Download the new app from the App Store or Play Store now. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Give them the whole!